Today's shiur is Masechta Babas with Daf Tzadik. We will be good at Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Tanya Nami Hochi. As the Braisa says, as we learned at the end of our previous shiur, Lo Yisha Odom Mida Chseri Yisrabetach Pei Esai. A person is not allowed to have an accurate scale and an accurate measure in his home. Even if that is used for a urinal, so it's highly unlikely that one will actually use it to measure or weigh something, but you never know, and there's always a concern that you'll use it and it'll turn out to be inaccurate and you will have cheated somebody. Aval ahoysa, what a person should do is make these uniform size measuring cup scales, weights. A saw, which is 6 kav, a tarkiv, which is 3 kav. As the Rishonim explained, the word tarkiv is a combination of tray, 2, plus kav is 1, for a total of 3 kav. The chatzi tarkiv, a half a tarkiv, the kav a chatzi, kav a roiva, the tuman, the chatzi tuman, the ochla. Kami hi ochla. How much is a ochla? Echad mechamisha berviya. A fifth of a quarter, which is an eighth. Ubemidas halach. These were all measures that were used for solids. Ubemidas halach huaysa. When you're coming to measure or make measuring cups for liquids, you should make a hin, chatzi hin, shlishas a hin, revias a hin, loig, vechatzi loig, revias, vishminas, vech vishmanish vishminas. The Echa Mishmanish Veshminas, says the Gemara, Zeh Kartiv. Many times when we learn Masechta Mikvos, the Mishnah uses the word that even a Kartiv Achas, even Kartiv is always the example of a very small amount. Even a Kartiv sometimes disqualifies a Mikvah. How much is a Kartiv? A Shmanish Veshminas. Ask the Gemara for Levad Nami Kabayim. And all the measurements that we spoke about at the beginning that are used for salads, there is no measurement of a kabayim of 2 kav. Answers the Gemara. Also lechlufa betarkif. If we're going to have one measure of 3 kav and one measure of 2 kav, says the Gemara, we're concerned that since they're so close in size, people may get confused between the two measures and accidentally, or maybe not accidentally, end up using the wrong measure, Therefore, we avoid having measures that are so close in size. Says the Gemara, if that's the reason that we don't have a measure for 2 kav and for 3 kav, Alma, it's obvious that, as I just explained, the ta inshu tilsa, that people get confused when the difference between the measuring cups is a third. Ask the Gemara, ihochi, if that's the case, kav, nami lo levid. So why do we have a measuring cup? Of a kav, dosel chlufi b'chatzi tarkiv. A chatzi tarkiv is a kav and a half. Half of 3. A kav is 1. The difference between 1 and 1.5 is a third. We're saying now that when the difference between the two measuring cups is only a third, there's concern for confusion. So why are we allowing that to be, why do we allow that? Says the Gemara, El kabayim hainu tama, the reason we don't have a measuring cup the size of 2 kab, and hainu kabayim hainu tama d'loy ovid, the reason we don't have a measuring cup that's 2 kab big, da'asi lechlufei b'chatzi tarkif. There's going to be mixed up with a chatzi tarkif, which is 1.5. So what the Gemara is saying is, Ella, Alma, Ta, in Shirviya. The difference between 2 and 1.5 is a quarter. So what the Gemara is now saying, that when the difference between the two measuring cups is as large as a third, there we don't have to be concerned of a mix-up, and that's why we can have a differential of a third. But if the differential is only a quarter obviously being less than a third, there we need to be concerned for confusion, and therefore we don't have measuring cups that are only separated by a quarter in size. As the Gemara, Alma, what we're establishing now is toy inch riva. When the differential is 25%, when the differential is a quarter, there is room for confusion. As the Gemara, which have less than a quarter of a differential, that have less than a quarter of a differential, the halacha should be the loyal evid, we shouldn't make. It was saying now that whenever there's such a small percentage differential of only 25%, there's room for confusion. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rapapa, Midas Ketanis Bekiba Inchi. Which Rapapa means to say is as follows. Then when we're dealing with larger measuring cups, so even if the differential is 25%, a quarter, we need to be concerned about confusion. But when we're dealing with smaller measuring cups, so a person, why would somebody use a small measuring cup just to buy a little of liquid or a little salad? Doesn't make a difference. The reason is he's obviously buying something that is used in small amounts. It's probably quite expensive, and that's why it's bought in such small amounts. And therefore, even though the measuring cups used to buy these items are so small, the price and the need create a situation that the person should be very careful that there should be no mix-up in using the wrong measuring cup. But when you're using larger measuring cups, so you're obviously buying items that are not that expensive. You're buying a larger volume of those items. There, you buy, and it's probably because you're buying it in larger quantities, they're probably items, objects that are not that expensive. And therefore, people aren't that particular about the size. And therefore, the concern for confusion is real. And therefore, with a differential between the sizes of the measuring cups is only a quarter, we need to be concerned for a mix-up. Ask the Gemara, Shlisha Sahin, Revia Sahin Leilevit. So why, when we spoke about the different measuring cups that are used for liquids, we spoke about Shlisha Sahin, a third of a hin, and a Revia Sahin, it's a larger size. The difference in size between a third of a hin and a quarter of a hin is a quarter. And we just established that whenever we're dealing with larger items, if the differential is a quarter, we don't have two measuring cups similar in size because we're concerned for confusion. So how do we allow that there should be a shlisha sahin cup and a revia sahin cup? Answers the Gemara. Kivin the Havav Migdash. There were, in the Beis HaMikdash, we know, when Kabbanas were brought, Nesachim had to be brought with the Kabbanas. And depending on the carbon, particularly depending on the size and the type of animal used for any type of carbon, they needed to bring different amounts of wine. Sometimes they brought a Shlisha Sahin, sometimes they brought a Revia Sahin. And Kivin the Havav B'Migdash LeGozer Rabbanim. So once they had them in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rabbanim didn't make a gzeira that we should disallow these size measuring cups. Ask the Gemara, but if there's a concern for confusion, so the Migdash Nami Ligzer. On the contrary, we should make a gzeira in the Beis HaMikdash also not to have cups, measuring cups, that are so close in size. Answers the Gemara, Kahanim Gzrizim. In Beis HaMikdash, we don't have to be concerned because the Kahanim were very diligent, and they won't get confused. So the Shaila Meshif says, based on this Gemara, we have this klal of Kahanim's Rizimheim used many times in Masech the Shabbos, Masech the Beya. That on Shabbos, there are many things that are also to do on Shabbos because what's known as a Shvus, as Issa the Rabbanan. And the Gemara says many times, ain't shvus b'migdash. That means that the Isurei D'Rabbanan and Hilchos Shabbos don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, why? Because Kehanim's reason hain. And the Rechlainim therefore say that this concept of Kehanim's reason hain apply strictly to Hilchus Shabbos, says the Shalom Eishe. From our Gemara we see that that is not true. It's not limited to Hilchus Shabbos, because our Gemara is applying this concept of Kohanim Zrizmein to measuring cups. So therefore, it's not issue. So now the obvious question is, fine, in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have to get worried about confusion. Kahanim Zrizmheim, they're not going to get confused between a Shlisha Sahin and a Revi'a Sahin. But what does that have to do with us outside the Beis HaMikdash? So I saw two different approaches in the Rishonim. The Nemuke Yosef explains that once the Kahanim are careful in the Beis HaMikdash, that will help us become also more cognizant of the difference between a Shlisha Sahin and a Revi'a Sahin. Miri takes it a step further. The Miri says, who brings the Kabbalah to the Beis HaMikdash? Not just Kahanim. The Israelim bring the Kabbalah. The Kahanim are the ones that actually do the Avodah, but the Kabbalah are brought by Israelim. Since it's Israelim that bring the Kabbalah, and they have the influence of the Beis HaMikdash for when they bring the Kabbalah, that affects them, that even when they're not bringing Kabbalah, they're not in the Beis HaMikdash, they should be careful not to confuse a Shlisha Sahin and a Revi'a Sahin. Continues the Gemara. Amr Shmuel, Amos Sifan Almidas, Yosef Mishtos. The halacha is that we're not allowed to add what they used to do at times is change the size of different measuring. In other words, if we know a foot is 12 inches, they would maybe make a foot 13 inches. Says the Shmuel, we should never add to a measure more than a sixth at one time. Furthermore, V'loy al-Matbei, this was done fairly commonly. They used to avoid inflation or deflation, they used to change the value of the coins, the value of the currency. Says the Gemara, you should not change the value of a coin, yes, mishtos. If I'm a stocker, I stocker, yes, mishtos. If somebody is selling a product, his profit margin should only be a sixth. And the Rishonim discuss at great length this halakha that the Gemara just taught us, hamistaka ayistaka yoyis mishtos. When is it applicable? Firstly, the Rishonim say it's only applicable on staple items. Things that you need to live. When we're dealing with items that are more luxury type items that you don't need, there the rule is ayistaka, there's no rule of ayistaka mishtos, because the buyer doesn't need to buy it. Bread, basic food, he has to have. Bread, flour, whatever. But you don't have to have jewelry, or you don't have to have luxury items, there the seller is allowed to sell more than a shtos. Furthermore, say the Rishonim, this is the halacha, this is why this rule is not applicable, bezman hazeh, this rule is only relevant in a place where Bezdin has the authority to enforce the rules. But if we live in a place where Bezdin doesn't have that kind of authority, so nobody's really going to have to pay attention to what Bezdin says, and the rule doesn't apply. Even if it's a place, say the Rishonim, that Bezdin has a lot of authority, but we still live amongst Goyim, and the Goyim aren't obligated to follow what Bezdin says, so the Goyim will not limit himself to these rules about profit. And once one business person in town isn't following the rules, you can't demand that the other business people should follow this rule. Furthermore, there are Rishonim that suggest that this halacha is only set to a wholesaler. A wholesaler who sells large volume, as we're saying, of staple food items at one time. So the Gemara says, Amstaka ayistaka yoyse mishtos. But let's say somebody's a retailer who sells small amounts of a product at a time, he limiting him to only being able to sell to make a profit of a sixth at a time is unfair. It isn't worth it for him to be in business that he could only make a sixth of a profit. He has an overhead, and since he sells only a little at a time, so every sale doesn't represent a lot of income, so it's impossible to require that he only profit a sixth, and the halacha of mistaka yistaka yoyis mishtos doesn't apply to a chenveni, doesn't apply to a retailer. One more interesting machlokes we're showing him regarding this din, which is obviously quite relevant, is let's say I have a store, I'm a wholesaler, and I bought an item at a certain price. And our Gemara is teaching us, Hamstaka al yistaka yois mishtos. I'm not allowed to make more than a sixth profit. But while I'm holding on to this item in stock, the value of the item goes up. So when we speak about the shtus, when we speak about the sixth profit that I'm allowed to make, on what basis do we calculate it? Do we calculate it on the price that I paid? Or do we calculate it according to its current value? The Rashbam says, we calculate it according to the current value. Because the Rashbam says, because we have to look at replacement cost. If I want to replace my stock, I'm going to have to pay the current value. Therefore, when we talk about the sixth profit, it's according to current value. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that we make the calculation of a shtus, we make it according to the price that I paid, even if the price of the item now is more. So now the Gemara begins to analyze each of the halachas that Shmuel just taught us. Shmuel said, that if we're going to enlarge any measure, we're not allowed to enlarge it more than a sixth. My tama. What's the reason? If you're concerned, mishumafkui tara, that because you're going to do this, it could cause inflation. So then ask the Gemara, shtus namiloi. Then a sixth should also not be acceptable. Ella, says the Gemara, mishum einoa, the loyla heavy bitl mekach. Which means as follows. We've discussed many times in this Masechta, more so in Masechta Bava Metzia, the halacha of Einoah. And the halacha, the typical halacha of Einoah is divided into three situations. One is where someone was overcharged or undercharged by less than a sixth, that the halacha is, under those circumstances, that the sale stands and nobody has to return anything because it's less than a sixth. Second situation is where the sale was a sixth, that the halacha is the sale remains a valid sale, the transaction remains a valid transaction, but the person who was cheated has to return what he was overcharged or undercharged. And then there's the halacha of yois mishtos. But the halacha there is that the mekach is kayim, the mekach is bottled. The sale could be voided. We've discussed previously already in our Masechta, when we learned Masechta Metzia, when we say that the sale could be voided, does that mean it could be voided by either party, or could it be voided only by the party who was cheated? But once it's more than a sixth, it becomes very serious that you had a deal and it could become voided. And therefore, says the Gemara, El Mishum Enor Delay Leva Betel Mekach, which means as follows. They're going to change the size of the measures, of the weight. But the person, the merchant who's selling the item is not aware of it. So he sells it based on the old measure. So if the difference between the old measure and the new measure is only a sixth, certainly if less, but it's only a sixth, we won't create a situation where the sale will be voided. Because as I said a moment ago, if the einoah is only a shtus, the sale remains. However, if the new measure versus the old measure is more than a sixth. So now we have a real concern, and that's why we have to be concerned. That's why, to avoid that, we never allow that there should be a differential of yes and mishtos. Ask the Gemara if that's how we're saying, that's why we're saying, that's why Shmuel is saying, that it should never be changed by more than a sixth. V'amar Rava, kol dovah shebemid v'shebemishkel v'shebeminyan, afil b'pachs mifdei no'achoyzer. As when I said a moment ago, my introduction, my brief review of Hilchos Einoah, I said that if it's less than a sixth, then the sale stands, it's not considered Einoah, nobody gets anything back. Rava says that's only if it's not something that it was sold by weight or by measure. But if something was sold by weight or measure, even if it was less than a sixth, the Hilchos Einoah applied. Here we're obviously talking about a weight, a measure, because we're talking about the weights and measures were changed. So if, asked the Gemara, our concern is for Einoah, so Einoah is relevant by Dovah Shebemidah Shebemishkel Shebeminyan, even when it's less than a sixth. So what are we accomplishing by limiting the amount that it could be changed by a sixth? Now here we have a very big Mechlek Rishonim, many different opinions in the Rishonim. When Rava makes the statement that called Dovah Shebemidah Shebemishkel Shebeminyan, even if it's less than a sixth hilchos einah apply, what does that mean? Some rishonim, which it seems to be the opinion of the Rashbam, is that the sale is void. What it means is that, even though I said before, when the overcharge or undercharge is less than a sixth, you can't demand any money back. Here you can. And the Gemara's question is, so you're going to disrupt the entire commerce. Many Rishonim, that's Tysus' opinion, say that no. When it's a Davish of a Midish of a Mishko, it makes no difference if it's... the halacha is that the sale is void. Not only do you have to give back the money, but the entire sale is void. And the Gemara's kasha is even geschmacker. So we're going to start voiding all the sales if I'm not aware, if the merchant is not aware of the change. There are other opinions on the Rishonim. There's some Rishonim that differentiate between metaltlin and karka, meaning as follows. By metaltlin, if it was sold by mid of a mishko, so there, if the overcharge or undercharge was less than a sixth, you just give back the money. By karka, the sale is void. Taking that shot at Rishonim a step further, there's some Mefarshim explaining as follows. It really makes a difference, they explain. It really makes a difference, they explain, what is the thing that was sold. Karka is the best example. If I sell you a piece of property, and the piece of property, when we write the contract, it's clearly delineated the size of the karka, the size of the property. And then it turns out that the piece of property I sold you is smaller than the piece, than as stated in the contract. There is no way for me to give you the amount that you were cheated, because that's the size of this property. So now you, the buyer, have a right to say, no, I wanted a piece of property that was the size that the contract says. You gave me less, I'm voiding the sale. Whereas if I sell you something, then I can make up what I didn't give you the right amount. That means, if I sell you 10 pounds of flour, and then you come home and you weigh the flour, and there's only 9 pounds, it's no problem, I'll give you another pound. No, that's not a reason to void the sale. So they explain that the difference should be looked at is if your loss could be compensated well or can't be compensated well. Another approach in the Rishonim is goes back to, again, it's nice chazaras, some of the concepts we've learned, is we learned earlier in our perek that sometimes the medida, sometimes the measuring or the weighing is the actual form of kinyan. And sometimes the measuring and the weighing is just there to know how much you bought and sold. So they say as follows. When the measuring and the buying is the actual form of kinyan, and then it turns out that it was done incorrectly, that voids the entire transaction. Whereas, where the weighing or the measuring wasn't the actual method of accomplishing a kinyan, you just weighed or measured just to know what you sold and bought, there, if it turns out that it wasn't accurate, it wouldn't void the sale. Ella, says the Gemara, the reason why we void it if it's, why we shouldn't change the measures by more than a sixth, because we could cause real loss to the merchant when if he won't be aware of the change. Ask the Gemara, are we only worried that the seller should not have a loss? Raf chalai bai? Are we not to be concerned that he should have profit? Says the Gemara, zoven v'zoven tagrikri. If somebody sells and doesn't make any profit, that's called a merchant, that's called a businessman. Not to make profit, anybody could do. So, we're still up to the basic question, why did Shmuel say that if the size of measures are being changed, they should be limited to a change of a sixth. Ela Amrav Chizda, Shmuel Kro Ashkech V'Darash. Shmuel found the Pasuk. And the Pasuk is what got him to say this halacha. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, V'Shekel Esrim Geira Esrim Shkolim V'Shekel Esrim Geira. A shekel is 20 Geira. Esrim shkolim, chamishav esrim shkolim, asar v'chamisha shekel, hamana yilachem. First, the pasuk defines the size of a shekel, esrim geira. But then the pasuk defines the size of a mana. And it says that a mana is a combination of 20 plus 25 plus 15, which is 60. That is the size of a mana. Before we go further, all the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. If the Pasuk wants to tell us that a mana is 60 shkalim, so the Pasuk should have said, Hamana shishim shkalim. The Pasuk here has a very interesting way of describing the size of a mana. It's 20 plus 25 plus 15 equals 60. Why? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat the Rishonim suggests is that the mana had different values in different times and different places. Sometimes it was 20, some places it was 25, some places it was 15. And the Pasuk is reflecting that reality, and that's why it describes the mana that way. That's one pshat. Another pshat is a very interesting pshat. It's a nice pshat. I think it still needs pshat, the pshat. But the pshat is as follows. Where is the mana, as we're going to speak in a half a minute about, where is the mana most commonly referred to? In the Beis HaMikdash. Always they discuss about the mana, the mana, the mana. Now, who are the, as we learned earlier in our shiur, who are the primary participants in the Beis HaMikdash? The Kohanim. What do Kohanim do? Kohanim say Birkas Kohanim. The Birkas Kohanim has three psukim. One pasuk has 15 letters, one pasuk has 20 letters, and one pasuk has 25 letters. That's why it's reflected this way. What the connection between the Birkas Kohanim and the mana is, I haven't figured out yet. Says the Gemara. So if we're going to say that, so now we're saying that the mana is 60 shekel. Every shekel is 4 dinim. So 60 times 4 equal 240. Now we've always, in our shurim, and we learned this in yeshiva, we've always identified that a mana means 100 dinim. But now, according to our calculation, it's 240. So how does that happen? Mana, if we're going to say that the mana is 60 shekel, it means that it's masam fa'abam hava, 240 dinar. How is that consistent with what we always learned, that it's only 100 dinar? El shmamina twas. By learning this pasuk properly, we could extrapolate 3 dinar. Shmamina, mana shal kegdish kafal haya. The regular mana, the mana that was used in regular commerce was 100. The mana in the Beis HaMikdash is double, equals 200. Furthermore, the Shmamina, Mesifer Alamidus, you could make the mana larger. So even though the base value of the mana ought to be 200 dinar, then Mesifer Yesh Mishtos, you could increase it, as we're learning, by a sixth. The Shmamina, when you make the calculation of a sixth, Shtusim Labar, which means as follows. If we would use the arithmetic that we normally use, what is a sixth of 200? 33 and a third. But they didn't, that's called milgav. It's taking the number 200, and a sixth of 200 is 33 and a third. They, when they typically spoke about adding, they did it after you did the addition. Meaning, what is a sixth of 200 after you added a sixth? 240. Because a sixth of 240 is, a sixth of 240 is 40, which is exactly a sixth. And that's how they made the mana bigger. So here we see a precedent in Nach where a coin was enlarged. And how much was it enlarged? By a sixth. So here we see that when you're enlarging coins, enlarge them by a sixth. There's a beautiful vart from the Archaim HaKadosh. What does it mean? It's very apidrosh. Mana shel kodesh kaful hayu. Meaning as follows. You have people, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who have yisachar zvulun relationships. Yisachar zvulun relationships represent that I earn, and half what I earn I keep for myself, and the other half I give to support Torah learning. Mana shel kodesh kaful hayu. If you keep half your money, and you give away half your money, the money you keep, the money you give away, which is only half of your money, kafel, is considered double. It's considered as if you gave away all of your money. If you keep half and give away half, kafel, it's considered as if you gave away everything. Says the Gemara. But Papa Mashmo, Takin Kaila Batosa Kisri. He added a third. Amr Leib Amr Shmuel, Amr how are you adding so much? Then we just finished learning you can't add more than a sixth. I made an entire new coin. So he sent this new coin, to this halacha, this coin to Pumbedisa. This new coin was called on Rapapa's name. As we learned, there are a lot of simanim, because there are a lot of brises being quoted in these gemaras that we're learning, and will these simanim help us, Be'ezer Hashem, remember what we're learning. Tanaban, Oitzrei Peiris. If somebody hoards produce, or Malvei Beribis, or somebody who lends ribis, or Maktinei Eifa, or somebody who cheats, he gives less than he's supposed to. Umafkin sh'arim, and they price gouge. Aleim akos of omer. The pasuk says lema masa yavra chodesh v'nashbira shever v'sheves v'niftach abar l'hakten eifa. These are individuals that make the measure smaller. U'lahag l'shekel u'laves mazne mimer. They cheat the weights. The ksev nishba Hashem begon Yaakov im eshkach lo'atzach gom. If I will ever forget what they're doing. So the Vilna Gaon asks, why is Yaakov from all the others mentioned as the person that Hashem makes the Shvuah for people who act improperly, dishonestly? He says a beautiful word. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when promising Eretz Yisrael, Tavram Avinu says, come, Mishalach. Whatever you want to have in Eretz Yisrael, you have to walk and so to speak, take ownership of. To Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that he'll give it to his son. You won't have it, your children. Yaakov Avinu got the greatest bracha somebody could get. Uferatzta, Yom of Akeb Mitzvayin of Enegba. You'll, all of Eretz Yisrael, you'll have an explosion. Uferatzta means you'll be all over. So Yaakov Avinu got a gevaldig of a haftacha. We are the children, we are the descendants of Yaakov Avinu. If somebody cheats in business, that means he doesn't have a munah, because a person who has a munah wouldn't cheat. Whatever he's supposed to get, he'll get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will make sure they're supposed to get. Who, if you're not acting honestly in business, that means you don't believe in the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Yaakov Avinu. And that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the shvuah about you, Nishba Hashem b'ga'oin Yaakov. Says the Gemara, Oitzri Peiris, what does it mean that somebody hoards produce? Kigoin man, who is the example? On Rav Yochanan Kigoin Shaps Otzah Peiris. First, I'm saying that even though you're not allowed to hoard, but if you put it away for your own use, the Paiskim say, and after you put it away for own use, you see you don't need what you put away, and you sell it, that's not called Oitzri Peiris. Avud Shmuel, says the Gemara, we have here the Avud Shmuel, who wanted to avoid that prices of items should go up. What used to do, Mazman Lelepeir B'Tara Chafa K'Tara Charfa. He would sell all the fruit, he would sell all the fruit at the time a little better. The price of fruit during the time where the fruit is being collected, being cut from the tree, is much less, because that's fruit in season, that's produce in season, is much cheaper than after the season. He would always keep the price in season and out of the season the same. Like that to keep price control. What Shmuel would do, Shmuel Berei, Mash Leperi. Now, if we think about what I just said, why is the price of produce out of season more expensive? Simple, because there isn't any more supply. So supply and demand, if there's no supply, the demand is there, it drives up the price of the fruit. So what Shmuel would do is he would put away the fruit when there was plenty of fruit available and only make it available during the time when it wasn't available to keep the price down. Says the Marshmubere, Mashla Peri, he would put away the fruit in inventory, or Mazmale, the Tara Afla Katara Karfa, that when it was out of season, he would sell it at the price when it wasn't season. So now they both did different techniques. They had different economic models on how to keep the price of fruit down. It says the Gemara, Shalch Matam, Tava da Abba Midababra. What the father did is better than the son. My Tama, Tara da Rabba Krava. What Shmuel did was that when the price started going up, so to prevent the price from continue going up, he opened up the warehouses, brought a big supply into the market, which drove down the price. What his father did was that he prevented a higher price from ever beginning. Says the Gemara, it's better economically to prevent something from getting a higher price than from having a situation where there is a higher price, and then you have to drive it down. What is the example of staple foods? Yain, shman, and saltus. Avatavlin, spices, common or poplin, mutter. The medvar mamurim, the lakeich minashuk. If you're buying it in the market, aval, the machim shaloi, mutter. Or mutter adam. Furthermore, says the Gemara, a person may, letzer, peris, peris, yisrael. A person could put away in that yisrael fruit, gimel shonim. Ereshvius, vishvius, or mutter shvius. Put away fruit for 3 years, because Shemitah year and the year after Shemitah, fruit is not, you don't work on the fruit in the field in the Shemitah year, and therefore you don't have anything to work on the year after. So there you're stocking it up that you should have. There's a famous machloikis. It's relevant up to this very day. Machloikis, which is known as the machloikis, the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. In common terms, it's known as the machloikis between the Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim. On karka, on fields in Eretz Yisrael, which are truly owned by a guy. I'm not talking about a het mechira. I'm talking about a real property that's truly owned by goyim. Do the halachas of Shemitah apply to them or not? The Mabit says yes. The ownership of the guy's ownership of property in Eretz Yisrael doesn't exempt it from Hilchos Shemitah. Beis Yosef disagrees. Beis Yosef says that if a guy truly owns the property, the field, those fruits, that produce is not subject to Hilchos Shvius. Bnei Barak follows the Chazanish, follow the opinion of the Mabit. Yerushalayim, most Gedolei Yisrael, follow the opinion of Beis Yosef. One of the rayas the Mabit uses to say that the Beis Yosef is incorrect, this is discussed in the Beis Yosef, has a sefer called Shalos Tshuvos Afkas Roichel, is this Gemara. Because the Gemara says, our Gemara we just learned, says that you have to be concerned about Paris, the price of Paris going up. So the stock, so by Shemitah, when you're not working the field. So the way you prevent it is stocking up for 3 years. Says the Mabit to the Beis Yosef, if you're correct that Paris that are grown on the field of Goyim, there is no problem, so why do you have to stock up? Just take produce grown by Goyim. It must be that produce grown by Goyim is not mutter, and therefore that isn't an option. Says the Beis Yosef to Mabit, it's not a raya. Because Al Gemara is referring to a time when most of Eretz Yisrael was inhabited by Jews. And since most of Eretz Yisrael was inhabited by Jews, to rely on fields and the produce of the fields that are owned by Goyim wasn't a real practical solution, because there just wasn't that much produce manufactured and created by Goyish fields. And that's why the Gemara has to give us a different solution, but not that I'm wrong. Says the Gemara, when it's a hunger year, so you have to be extremely careful that there should be enough supply. Even though carobs you can't call a staple item, and it's not that much that it should have such an effect, still, any anything like any stocking up could create a problem. Amle Rav Yosef Chanina Pugashame. Puk etzri li peri. He said that you should put away my peris. Shol shonim. Er shvius v'shvius u'matz shvius. So I saw a beautiful pshat in the Mefarshim. Our Gemara already told us that you're allowed to do it. The Gemara quoted a brisa. So what's the point of the Gemara telling us that Rabbi Yossi told the Shamus to do this? Of course, the brisa says you're allowed to do it. So we needed the Rabbi Yossi, if the Amora telling us. So it's a beautiful pshat. Originally, it was prohibited to bring produce from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, because the produce of Chutz Laaretz was considered tamei. So therefore, there was no option. If they wanted to have produce in Eretz Yisrael, they had to stock up. But then they relaxed that rule, and they said that you can't bring produce from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So I would think, once that the rule is that you can bring produce from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, there should no longer be a heter to stock up produce. Erev Shviyas Shviyas Matzah Shabbos teaches us the Gemara that it's preferable to eat the peiros of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore how could you eat the peiros of Eretz Yisrael by stocking up than to rely on the heter of bringing produce from Chutz Laaretz? Tana Rabbanan, Ein Metzin Peiros Eretz Yisrael, Dvarim Sheyesh Bahem Chayei Nefesh. You're not allowed to export from Eretz Yisrael staple food items. Kegon Yainus, Shmana Besaltas. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seir, Mat B'Yayin, he says wine is not so great. Neshim Mat is a Tifla. Yain could bring immorality. Shem Mitzim Eretz L'Chutz L'Aretz, Kem Mitzim Eretz Yisrael L'Suria. You can't even export to Suria, because Suria is not considered Eretz Yisrael, because Suria is considered an area of Kibush Yochid. And Kibush Yochid, Lo Yishmei Kibush. There are many Pshatim in the Rishonim, why Kibush Yochid, Lo Yishmei Kibush. One Pshat is that it was only done by David HaMelech, not with the consultation of the Sanhedrin with the Urim and Tumim. Another pshat, which is probably the simplest pshat, that David HaMelech went to capture Surya before all of Eretz Yisrael was captured, and it's inappropriate to go outside of Eretz Yisrael before all of Eretz Yisrael proper is captured. So that's why it's called a Kibush Yochid. Rabbi Mata, Mefrachya Lefrachya. Even though we're not allowed to take out, he said Mefrachya Lefrachya is mutter. Very big mechlokes rishonim. What does mefrach lefrach mean? Some rishonim say you're allowed to take from one district to another district, provided both districts are in Eretz Yisrael. But to take from Eretz Yisrael to Surya, certainly further than Surya, is always also. Others say that even though you're not allowed, the Gemara just taught us you're not allowed to take fruit out of Eretz Yisrael to Surya, but there's a border between Eretz Yisrael and Surya. To take from the district that's right by the border of Eretz Yisrael and Syria, even though it involves taking to Syria, since it's right next, these two places are right next to each other, it's mutter. So obviously when we learn this Gemara of Eimet Sien, Peres Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz, the question comes up that many fruits are exported from Eretz Yisrael, even nowadays. So how is that mutter? How are we allowed to purchase those products? So the Masham already has a tshuva about the Sroge Eretz Yisrael. According to this, how could you have a Sroge Eretz Yisrael if it's, you know, I take fruit out of Eretz Yisrael? So the Masham says that if when the fruit was planted, it's planted specifically for export, then this din doesn't apply. So it says the Sroge, the Masham says that's already, that are exported, are planted specifically for export. Rav Ozner, the Shalas Tshuva Shevet Alevi, has a very different approach. He says, why is there a halacha of Eimet Sin Peres Eretz Yisrael L'Chutz Laaretz? Because we're concerned for the welfare, for the economy of Eretz Yisrael. The best thing you could do for the economy of Eretz Yisrael is export fruit and bring in the dollars to Eretz Yisrael. So, on the contrary, exporting fruit supports the economy, and that's our entire goal. That's why we're allowed to support. That's why we're allowed to do it. So I saw the Mefarshim ask that it says that when Eliezer met Rivka, he had with him Peres Eretz Yisrael, which he gave her. Question is, how did Eliezer take Peres Eretz Yisrael out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz? So one pshat that I saw is kaftel of aderech. Eliezer didn't ever intend to take Paris out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. But Eliezer assumed that his trip will take much longer. So he prepared himself that he needs this much fruit while he's still in Eretz Yisrael. But then, as Rashi tells us, kaftel aderech, he traveled much quicker, and he ended up having fruit left over. So it wasn't done intentionally, and that's mutter. And that's why it's mutter l'chatchila. If you don't have to throw it into the garbage, if you find yourself with fruit that you didn't intentionally plan to take out of Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't do bal tashchis, throw in the garbage. But then I saw a beautiful vart from the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes says that wherever a tzaddik from Eretz Yisrael goes, is considered Eretz Yisrael. Consider Eretz Yisrael. So if Eliezer is in Chutz Laaretz, Eliezer is in Eretz Yisrael, because where he is, he makes that area Eretz Yisrael. And I saw a pshat, it's a big chiddush, I saw a pshat based on that Imre Emes that says, with this Imre Emes' vart, we can understand something which is always hard to understand. First, when Eliezer talks to Basul and Lovin about taking Rivka back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yitzchak, they say, Kach v'leich. Gesundheit. Take her. And then they start making problems. What's going on here? So he said, they before I should say pshat like this. They say, Eliezer, they told Eliezer, instead of Rivka going to Yitzchak, Yitzchak should come to Rivka. So Eliezer said, Yitzchak can't leave Eretz Yisrael, but Rivka could go to Eretz Yisrael. That's why bringing Yitzchak here is not an option. So they said, okay, we have no choice. Rivka's going to have to go to Eretz Yisrael. But now that they saw the fruit of Eliezer, and the Imre Emes said that the fruit of Eliezer proves that wherever tzaddik is Eretz Yisrael, so now you can bring Yitzchak here. So why are we taking Rivka to Eretz Yisrael? Let him stay here.